please, this afternoon to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Let's read together from verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This afternoon I want to speak mainly from verses 18 and 19. They tell us that verses 18 and 19 are a parenthesis in the chapter. In other words, you can read to the end of verse 17, behold, all things are become new. And then verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. That's verse 18 and verse 19 has been put in here as a parenthesis to explain to you and to me some of the all things that are found at the end of verse 17. Some of the all things that are new are found in verses 18 and 19. There are three very simple things I would like you to remember about verses 18 and 19. The first one is this, that we read, God hath reconciled us. Hath reconciled us. In the second place, I want you to see, in the same verse 18, he hath given us. And in the third place, in verse 19, I want you to notice at the end of the verse it says, he hath committed unto us. Now here are three things that the Lord has done for us. Let me say, first of all, to you who are younger in Christ, that reconciliation is bringing man back to God. Last night we were preaching the gospel, we were trying to warn men and women of their need of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes it seems to me that unsaved people think that God needs to be reconciled to them. You would almost think that God was doing them a favor. You would almost think that they were doing God a favor getting saved, where it's all the other way around. God has done everything to reach man. The God of heaven wants to reconcile man to himself. You're the one that's gone astray if you're not saved. I was the one that had gone astray in my sins. And you see, the Lord loved me, and the Lord loved you. And he wanted you to come back to himself. And he knocks at the door of your heart. And through the gospel of the grace of God, the good news, you return to him. And when he brought you back through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, this is called reconciliation, bringing two together who have been torn apart because of sin. Sin came between yourself and God in Eden's garden, even though you weren't even born yet. When you came into this world, you were a sinner by nature. But the Lord God of heaven said, I love that child. I love that girl, that boy, that man, that woman. And I'm sending my Son into the world that I might bring them home. This is the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to notice that in this portion we also read not only the words ministry of reconciliation at the end of verse 18, but we find that at the end of verse 19, the word of reconciliation. Now, the word of reconciliation is the word of God. It's the good news in the Scripture. It's interesting to notice that when you're studying your Bible, young believer, you'll find that this book is called the Word of God. This book is called the Word of Righteousness. This book is called the Word of Grace. It's called the Word of Life. It's called the Word of Faith. You'll find the Word of Prophecy. You'll find that it's perfect for ministry, for bringing God's people close to Himself, for teaching the people of God. And this book is spoken of as the Word of Reconciliation. It contains the Word of Reconciliation, the good news of bringing men and women and boys and girls to Himself. Now, we're taking for granted this afternoon that you're a Christian, that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that you young people want to live for Him now. You believe the Word of Reconciliation. You've come home. In your sins, you turned to the Lord Jesus. In all His love for you, you watched Him dying for you on Calvary, and you said, Lord Jesus, you're mine. Now the Lord wants you to live for Him. And so we look at this portion and we see that there are some old things that have become new in verses 18 and 19. And the first one is this, that all things are of God, verse 18, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. The first thing we learn after the Lord saved us, that the reason we're saved is that the Lord Jesus Christ brought us back to the God of heaven. How did He do this? Well, through the working of the Spirit of God in your heart. You heard the gospel, you believed it with all your heart, you said, Lord, this is what I want. I'm going to take Christ as my Savior. And you were brought back to the Lord God. The Lord Jesus knocked at the door. You opened the door of the heart. You said, Lord Jesus, I want you for my Savior. But it was through the Lord Jesus that you came back to God. You were separated from Him because of your sins, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're brought back. And this is what verse 18 is telling us, first of all. We are reconciled. We have been reconciled by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's past. It has been done already. Now, when we're preaching the gospel, we say that in the gospel, he that believeth hath everlasting life. And we say to the sinner, how do you know you have it? Once he puts his trust in the Lord, well, he says, the Word of God says, H-A-T-H, I have it. I don't want to belabor this point, but I want each one of you this afternoon to see this and believe it. You already are reconciled. Because this is the key to the rest of the verse. All the other things in the verses are also yours. Now, you're willing to say you're reconciled, I know that. You're willing to accept this with all your heart and take a hold on it and say, this is me. This is where I come in. I'm the fellow. I'm saved. I'm reconciled. Then if you are reconciled to God, what about the rest of the verse? Do you believe the rest of the verse? You notice what it says? It says, all things are of God who hath reconciled us. We are already reconciled. We are already brought back to God. We are His children. Notice what it says. By Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry of reconciliation? You know, this is an interesting thing. This is the preaching of the good news now, isn't it? Now, you older men that are here tonight, or this afternoon, and you young fellows, you already have told me that you've been reconciled. You are nodding. You're saying, yes, you have been brought back to God. Then to you has been committed the word of reconciliation. Do you know what it is to have something committed to you? Well, this isn't a very good illustration, but it proves what commitment is. You know what happens when a person is committed? You know what we talk about? When someone is taken out of the school system because they're unable to do things, and they've come to the place where they not only are unable to help themselves, but they're hurting others, They are committed by their parents and by the school and by the authorities to an institution. You know what that means? That means they're put in there. And they're put there whether they like it or not. They're committed. Now, you are committed. You didn't know this, maybe, but you sure are. To you has been committed the word of reconciliation. You're a preacher this afternoon. Aren't you glad to hear that? You're preachers this afternoon, every one of you men. You know, it wasn't long ago. I'm going to tell you a secret now. It wasn't very long ago that Mary and I went into Des Moines to a Sunday school convention. And, of course, the people were invited from all the churches to come and see all the material that is being produced today for Sunday school. In that convention, they had a corner set apart for the Iowa Bible Camp, and that's why we went. It's the group that rents us their camp in the summertime, and these are not like the folks I was mentioning last night. These are born again, clear, fundamental Bible preaching people. But because they were coming from all different groups, denominations, and different areas, they thought they would compromise, and they invited a Baptist minister to speak to them in a free church. So he began to speak, and this is what he said. Now, I nearly fell off the seat when he said this. He said, "Do you know the Plymouth Brethren are watching us?" Now, before I go any farther, let me tell you, I'm not in the Plymouth Brethren. I don't believe for one minute that we belong to any denominational group under any name. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he said. I didn't say it. We belong to the Lord. You young people, I know you go to school, and I know we fill out the reports for you. I have to fill out the reports in my class, and I say to the boy or girl, "What church do you belong to?" That's in the report. And the kid scratches his head and says, "I don't know." I say, "Well, what church does your mother drag you to?" I try to get it across something they understand, you see. Well, they haven't even been to church. Well, then, where were you baptized when you were a baby? Find out something at home. We want to know where you're supposed to be. Well, some of them, they never do find out, and some of them, when they found out later on that they belong to some group. Well, we young people belong to the Lord. Young people, you belong to the Lord Jesus. We are not denominational, and we are not Plymouth Brethren. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather to his person and to his name, and each local group is an individual and not independent. We're not independent of the Lord, and we're not independent of one another, but we're an individual local group of Christians in Omaha or Lincoln or Iowa, wherever you are in the state of Iowa, and each group is under the headship of Christ with the Word of God as their guidebook, and your elder brethren as those under-shepherds under the Lord guiding you and leading you on. But anyway, he said the Plymouth Brethren are watching us. Mary gave me a jar with her elbow. I nearly went off the end of the seat. I thought, "Oh, brother." Do you know what he told them? He said, "Do you know why they're watching us? Because they're laughing at us. And do you know why they're laughing at us? Because they have taken their Bibles and they know there isn't such a thing as clergy and laity, and you people are born again." Now, mind you, these are people from all groups. You're born again. The God of heaven has given you a Bible, and he says, "Do you know what you say you are? You say you're laymen." And he said, "Boy, they never named you." He said, "There never was a better name given to you. You certainly are laymen." He said, "There isn't one of you that doesn't pay the preacher and then criticize him." And he said, "If some of you laymen would get up on your feet and go to work," he said, "you'd be more scriptural." And boy, he really tore them apart. And you know, as I listened to him, I thought, now, isn't this something? Here he is patting the assemblies on the back, and the most of us are running them down. Here's a fellow on the outside. He says, "You people ought to be in there." He said, "These people that are known as Plymouth Brethren have learned a truth that we have yet to learn," he told them. There were over 300 people there. He said, "We have yet to learn that we all are ministers of the gospel." He said, "You have come here to hear me at this convention, and I have been introduced as a minister of the gospel." And he said, "Don't you think this lets you out, because it doesn't." And that is what the verse is saying that I'm reading to you. Brethren, listen. You men who are amongst us, to you has been committed the ministry of reconciliation. And you ladies too. And it has all not only been committed to you, if you get yourself a good concordance, if you get yourself some good commentaries on 2 Corinthians, you will find that you are ordained ministers, every one of you. Every one of you. It's just you haven't gone to work yet. You're among these laymen. When he pictures the laymen in the church, of course, I haven't been in a denomination church in my whole life. I don't know how bad they are, laymen. But according to his theory, this is what he told them. I'll give you a little illustration. Here's a great big wagon. He said, I hope you all, your farmers here, and I don't know how many of them were, great big hay wagon, and all the hay is hanging out the side. And he said, you know, you never could get around them on a narrow road. He said, not since you boys started putting these cute little bales together. But the great big wagon with the hay hanging all over, it's a mammoth thing. And he said, all you Christians are riding in the hay and you're singing, rescue the perishing. And you all have whips and you're whipping the horse. And he said, away down in front is this skinny little preacher, the horse. And he can't pull the wagon. But you say, that's what we paid him for. He had some wonderful illustrations that night. I really enjoyed him. And this is what he was saying about the assemblies, that they have learned the truth, that you can't all ride in the hay and sing rescue the perishing and beat the preacher or the one elder brother in your meeting that has to pull the whole load. Because he said it can't be done. And he told them why. He said, you know why? Because there's always some of you that are down behind the wagon sticking baseball bats in the spoked wheels to keep them from turning. And his recommendation, and I pass it on to you this afternoon, was this. I pass it on to you as assembly brethren. We've got to get out of the hay. We're all riding on the top. His suggestion was, let's get all you Christians, whether you're denominational or whatever group you come from, out of the hay. Get you down in front of the wagon and get someone that knows how to harness you up to get you in harness. Let the preacher ride on top. And then you see that wagon move. And you know that's true? And it's not only true, young people, that's scriptural. I hope that you love the assembly to which you are linked for the many wonderful scriptural reasons that are in the Word of God. That you know this is the place God wants you, because this is the place where you can go to work. You do not have one man that you pay with and then criticize. You have learned this truth from the Word of God in the assembly, that every brother is part of the work, that the ministry of reconciliation is given to all. Look at this verse again. First of all, it says, he hath reconciled us. And we say, praise the Lord, we're saved. We are reconciled. Then if you're among the reconciled, what does it say? It says he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You are ministers of the gospel. You are to serve the Lord wherever you might be. You see, for you young people, you have to keep in mind that in the early days of the New Testament, they didn't have gospel chapels and gospel halls and buildings like this. Everywhere they went, they told their neighbors and their friends about the Lord. Everybody was a preacher. And as they traveled, they told their neighbor, their friend, how they had been saved, and the Lord scattered them from Jerusalem, and little assemblies began being formed here and there and everywhere. Well, you know, the point is this. If these groups would, you say to me, well, if you're not one of the brethren, what are you? Well, I say this. If these groups get together, and they get a Bible, and they study the Word of God, and they see the principles of gathering to the person of Christ, and they meet this way, what will they be? Let me ask you. What are you going to call them? Are you going to call them Baptists? As much as we love those that are really born again among them, are you going to call them by another name? What are you going to call them? There are groups of Christians meeting together just simply in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is above every name. What's wrong with using that lovely name? The banner over us is love. His name is the name that we take. His person is the person to whom we gather, and we're believers in Christ. We're Christians. That's good enough. But oh, says somebody, but you can't kid us. We're all linked together. Oh yes, we're all bound in one body, and we're the church As far as the universal church is concerned, all the believers are in the universal church. But you know, that goes for Christians that are in other denominations too. So for them too, they're in the universal church. But we're talking about a local church on earth. The little group of believers that meet here in Omaha, you call yourself Christians, believers. That's good enough. That's good enough. You see, one thing that makes me think about this is when you go to work for a large organization like a public school or something like this, they want to know what group do you meet with? Who are you? And boy, I'm telling you, you have real times with them. You really have time to try and explain. And I'm not just, don't criticize the young people, you older ones. You try it. I sat down with the principal and when I was all done, he says, now what are you? And I said, what do you mean, what am I? What are you? He said, well, my father was a Roman Catholic and my mother was a Methodist and I don't go anywhere. Well, I said, what are you then? He said, I don't know what I am. But he said, what are you? I said, I'm a Christian. You know what he said. Maybe I shouldn't tell. Some of our folks here, he says, oh, go on, you're a Brookfooter and you don't know it. You see, we had a good preacher in our area years ago. His name was Mr. Broadfoot. Of course, they call us Broadfooters. They've got to hang a name on you. They won't let you have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. They're going to hang something on you if they have to make up a name, if they have to take a preacher's name. But we are reconciled. Reconciled through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what else does it say here? Notice what it says. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto him. Young believer, you've heard all the arguing, Lord Jesus, the Son of God. Was this the very God of heaven claim he was? Was he not just a man? Read this verse to anybody that asks you that. Isn't this a wonderful verse? Notice what it says. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Who was it that came into the world to die for me? The very God of heaven himself. Who was it that loved me? The very God of heaven himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, when he came into the world, he not only represented the God of heaven, he is the God of heaven. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And God is seen in Christ, bringing the world back to himself. It's a wonderful verse. The world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, not counting their sins, not saying, there you are, you're guilty, there you go, you sinned against me, look at all the sins you have. No, these are believers who have said, Lord Jesus, I know I sinned. I know I sinned against you. I know that I sinned against the God of heaven, but you paid for my sins, Lord. He's one of these believers we're reading about, who have been reconciled, God doesn't impute their trespasses against them. They're forgiven, their sins are gone, and they belong to him. Notice what he said. He uses the word unto them, and then he comes back to us again. And notice what it says. Hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Committed unto us. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you're thinking about the people of God, when you're looking at the children of God and you meet them as you travel around the country, that they belong to you and that you belong to them. But regardless of what area you go into, you will find local groups of Christians here and there who definitely gather on scriptural ground. Now, some of them never heard of us. Some of them never heard of us. And this is why I insist that we're individual groups. Here's a brother, and he's never heard of the group in Omaha. He's never heard of so-called brethren, whatever name you want to give them. He's never heard of these things, but he begins to study the Word of God, and he says, this is for me. This is for my family. This is what God's Word said, and I'm going to stand for it. And pretty soon he finds another family that says the same thing. We're tired of what we have. Where we go, maybe it's turned into a modernistic group. We're not going to sin, listen to men ridiculing the blood of Christ. We're going to do something. And they say, what are we going to do about a preacher? And a group of them get together and they find out that the message of reconciliation has been given to them. Then they meet together in a home. Someone may come along and help them, or maybe no one will come along who is considered a full-time worker or a man who travels and preaches. But as they study the Word of God, they realize that God has gifted the people of God. And they find that amongst them, here's a young man that can give a word in the gospel. Here's an older brother who's a real shepherd among God's people. And they meet together, they gather together, and they suddenly discover that the Lord has said, do this in remembrance of me when he instituted the feast. So they began to break bread. And someone says, well, they have the right to Chicago to get an okay, don't they? I certainly tell you they don't. They don't have the right to anybody to get an okay. Well, they get their authority. Well, they get their authority from the Bible. This is one thing that I want to say to you young people, especially. You get magazines into your home, and thank God for them. I have nothing against publications. I think they're wonderful. But don't get the idea, because a magazine's published, well, some are published like Kansas City Magazine, Mr. Waldrick lives in Fort Dodge, that this is our headquarters. Because a lot of people get this idea. When I went into the service, you see, I wanted to preach. Well, they said, you can't preach if you're to be a chaplain unless you're an ordained minister. Well, I said, I'm not an ordained minister, but I have a letter of commendation from a group of people amongst whom I did preach. Well, that isn't enough. They said, you know what you'll have to do? You'll have to bring a magazine from your organization, that shows us that you are a preacher among them. Well, I wrote to Mr. Waldrick, and Mr. Waldrick sent me a copy of Light and Liberty. And in Light and Liberty, it said Bill Morgan had been somewhere. I don't know where I'd been. Somewhere. And it just had my name in, and the Navy was well satisfied that I must be an Orthodox preacher, because my name was in the magazine. Now, the Navy's satisfied with that, but let me tell you, the Lord isn't. Amongst assemblies, amongst people of God, wherever they meet, the Lord is going to raise up gifts. And whether your name ever appears in a magazine, my brother, you're still has been committed to you the ministry of reconciliation. Whether your name ever appears or whether your picture ever comes out in the magazine, you're still supposed to be a preacher. And you're supposed to get out of the hay and stop just singing and dragging your feet. And stop just putting a ball bat in the spokes of the wheel to make it harder for the other fellow to go and get out and push the wagon. You are ordained, you have been called of the Lord, you are a minister of the reconciliation, and you are to get to work. And you know what will happen if all God's people get to work? Our assemblies will begin to grow. Unsaved people will be coming under the sound of the gospel. The Lord will bless his word. There is no reason why an assembly in a city this size should get any smaller. There is no reason that any assembly where the Christians get out and bring the unsaved in should get any smaller. It is up to us to carry the message of reconciliation. It's a wonderful thing as you look into the Word of God that it says that God was in Christ reconciling the world. It is another wonderful thing that we have not been imputed unto us the trespasses, our sins. But these two things I can understand. I know that it wouldn't be any other way that God would be in Christ reconciling the world. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I know from the Word of God that my sins are not imputed unto me. It couldn't be any other way. Because my sins are forgiven because of the blood of Christ and the finished work. But the one thing that bothers me, and the one thing that I don't understand, and I don't claim to understand, is how could God commit unto us, the word of reconciliation. We have been so unfaithful. You say to me, brother, if you think you've been unfaithful, what about me? And I look at you and say, brother, if you think you're unfaithful, what about the things God entrusted to me and the things that I have done? What about the time that I have wasted? What about the opportunities that I have had that I haven't taken? We're all in the same boat. But isn't it remarkable that the verse still says, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation? I believe it was Brother Ray Routley said yesterday in prayer, or Brother Milo when we were praying together, they were saying that the angels could do a better job of preaching than any one of us, and that's true. But the Lord didn't commit it unto angels. He committed the word of reconciliation unto you. Unto you. Oh, let me say to you, as I close this afternoon, when you go home to your local assembly, remember you have a responsibility. The Lord may have given you a marvelous gift. You haven't exercised it. You know, sometimes as we go from place to place, I know all these preaching brethren have the same experience. You don't know the people you go amongst, and maybe you'll ask a young man to open in prayer, or maybe an elder to open in prayer, and everybody nearly faints dead away. And some woman rushes up to you and says, "Oh, that's my husband. He's never prayed before publicly." Well, you didn't know this. You figured, well, it's about time he started. You know, don't be afraid to start. Your wife may faint dead away, but she'll get over it. Don't worry about her. She'll get over it. Stand up and give out a hymn that the Lord has put on your heart. You know, I enjoyed hearing that the young man that took part this morning with me, and the local brethren, and Brother Bill, and all of you that are local brethren taking part in the assembly meetings. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you just go on Sunday night and say, well, let's see, Brother Jones spoke last night, J-K-L, let's see, now it'll be Brother Lemon tonight because he's L. Don't try that. If a brother is exercised, though, before the Lord, and I wish you all with thee, and the Lord has laid upon your heart a little word to give for him, remember, unto you has been committed the word of reconciliation. What a wonderful thing to be a child of God. Young believers, you tell me you don't have anything to do in the meetings, in the assemblies as we know them today. Why, there are more opportunities and work to be done. Talk to any of these men who have worked in camps. Counselors, Bible studies, Sunday school groups, Bible schools, Friday night classes, gospel meetings. Have you ever gone out on gospel meeting night just to help the one that is speaking? Boy, that's a good job. It's a hard one, but you go along. And you get there and you pray for them and you help him. And if he asks you to give out a hymn, you young men get up and give out the hymns. You find out it won't be very long until you be so happy in the assembly where you are, you never would even think of going anywhere else. Because remember, the other field isn't very green. When you get into the other field, you're going to be a layman. They're going to put you to sleep. Because they're all laymen. And remember, what they're trying to do is get their laymen on their feet. And there's one thing they see in the assembly, and I thank God they see it, that by God's grace and by the help of God, if there's one truth that the local assemblies at least have seen, that there's no such thing as clergy and laity among the people of God. There is gifts. But there's no such thing as saying to this brother, you're going to have to sit quiet now for the rest of your days because we done hired a preacher. There isn't such a thing in the Word of God. I jotted down just a little note that was given not too long ago in connection with a pastor. Oh, yes, he said that it doesn't matter whether you're in a real good, sound, fundamental church or whether you're in an assembly on one area. Now, it does matter to me. But he said this, he's a fundamental man. He said, there's one thing that's true of all these people that say they're not in the fundamentals, but they gather as we do in the assembly. There's one thing that's exactly the same in all these groups. They're all divided into two classes. And I had to say amen when I heard it. He said, there are those that go to work, and there are those that left.